Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for this 10th Sunday after Pentecost is our Old Testament reading, a book written by King Solomon, the son of David, Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, verse 2, verses 12 through 14, chapter 2, verses 18 through 26. I know it's kind of broken up, isn't it? I think the reason why that this pericope, this part of Scripture, was broken up was to kind of drive the point home without getting lost on all the things, maybe to make it less depressing. Because, I mean, verse 2, and I'm going to read this pericope, this piece of Scripture, throughout the sermon. You'll hear all of it that is here, but I'm going to begin with verse 2 again, 2 and then 12. Absolute futility, says the teacher. Absolute futility. Everything is futile. I, the teacher, have been king over Israel in Jerusalem. These are the words of the Lord, though. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing unto you, O Lord. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Imagine the king being the Sunday morning preacher. Imagine the president. I don't know, anyone you want. But someone like Luther made this comment. It is better to have a wise Turk on the throne than a foolish Christian. America has seen both, haven't we? And yes, they tend to be preachy too, those presidential speeches. This preacher, though, King Solomon, is speaking God's word here to his people, and to the church of both old and new, to us. We should listen. It is a good, sobering thing to read Ecclesiastes from time to time. As depressing as it is, too, to read, it is still so true. It can bring despair. Solomon is saying that. And that is why so many avoid this book. But then they miss the gospel there. It is in there. But the rest, hard truth, the law. That is what it should be doing, though, should do at least each Sunday, bring us to despair. What I mean is despairing of ourselves, of the world in which we live in. To once again confess the truth of God's word when he said we are not to trust in princes or our own strength or the strength of horses, all those things that are listed, the strength of iron and weapons or in our bank accounts or what we have got in the bank, whatever kind of bank we have. You know, a closet full of fancy clothes or what have you. A garage full of antique cars. Whatever our thing is. For me, it's old computers, I guess. Anything that we, you know, treasure. Vanity is one of the translations for the word futile. Empty, futile, here today and gone tomorrow. All of it. Us too. So despair of it all. That is why God had it written. Hear it. No, not to be depressed. No, to be free. Because it is, in fact, all vanity and done, made, and accomplished from sin. For sin and all so that we have our hand in the making of ourselves. See? That's what it's talking about. The self-made man or woman. I did it. It was because of me. I am here right now because I did something right. Ever hear yourself claim some of that? Recently I hear it in a commercial. I don't know what it's for, but it says, I am me more than ever. That's the new jingle. Vanity, futility, and that is what we are to despair of. Not to be despondent, depressed, but But rather want to crawl into a hole? No, not that either. It is so that we are brought to our knees and seek mercy, grace, and salvation. Life itself from the right source. Not from us, not from kings, presidents, princes, movie or rock stars, not scientists, doctors. No. But what has happened since Eden? Think about it. What has really happened since Eden? Verse 13 says it well. I applied my mind to examine and explore through wisdom all that is done under heaven. Well, certainly that describes us. How many seek the meaning of life everywhere out there in the world, but ignore the very place where it is given? I remember in science class that there were these two scientists, Dr. Louis Leakey and his wife Mary. They spent most of their lives in Africa in search of the so-called missing link to prove the theory of evolution to be true. They did not find one. Surprised there, but now their son, Richard, and his wife are doing the same thing. Two generations wasted, and all for a lie. I have seen all things, Solomon says, verse 14, that are done under the sun, and have found everything to be futile, a pursuit of the wind. If only they would listen to God's word. But since they are determined not to do so, I applied my mind to examine and explore through wisdom all that is done under heaven. Solomon tried. They are doing that. So we continue. We toil just to fail. Toil to an unfulfillment in life, to frustration, and then the end. What was that saying? Life, and then what? Life, what? Then you die? Remember that song? So true. On purpose, God has done this. This is God's doing. Why? So he can and only will be the source of everything that is good, that is lasting, that will remain in the end, as it should be. Even for perfect Adam and Eve, that was the case. We just chose in our rebellion to forget that. Augustine was amazed one day when he discovered when he thought he had to look for and buy or create or work or design his own righteousness to be pleasing to God. And one day he discovered, well, Adam and Eve, how did they get theirs? It was made for them. They were given theirs. That's always the way it was to be, as it should be. But no, we forget. No, I know, not as we want, because we want, but that's part of our condition, original sin in us, to want to be like God, to be self-determined, self-willed, self-actualized, autonomous. Oh, the list is long, and we like it. Sin and all vanity, and vain it is, because it is all so soon over with, futile and gone. Here today and gone the next. And then what? Then what? Verse 18 and 19. I hated all my work that I labored at under the sun, because I must leave it to the one who comes after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? Yet he will take over all my work that I labored at skillfully under the sun. This too is futile. So what are we striving for? Hopefully not for ourselves. The point, I think. God is not being cruel here. God is just forcing us to be how he created us to be, not how we want to recreate ourselves to be in our own image. He made us in his image, remember. He wants us to be that like that again. We are for him as he is for us. That's the way the Holy Trinity exists, for each other, for us. And we are to be for them, for him. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we for each other. as everything ought to be for one another. Verse 20 through 23. So I began to give myself over to despair concerning all my work that I had labored at under the sun. When there is a person whose work was done with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, and he must give his portion to a person who has not worked for it. This too is futile and a great wrong. For what does a person get with all his work and all his efforts that he labors at under the sun? For all his days are filled with grief, and his occupation is sorrowful. Even at night his mind does not rest. This too is futile. Why then does the world work so hard and so long? For what? You spend your best days, your best years to gain, and then in the end are not able to enjoy them. What is the evil here? Simple, that it is all done for ourselves. Vanity, how great I will be when I have all that, as we look into the mirror and smile. What profits a man who gains the whole world but loses his soul? Asked Jesus. Then Jesus tells the story of a farmer who has the best year yet, but that night is his last. What good did it do him? Jesus said that that man did nothing to acknowledge God. He was not rich toward God. Jesus called the farmer a fool. So to us. And how are we then to see this? Is it all too often, let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we what? Die. True, but not the answer. King Solomon says it a bit differently, and God is telling him, remember this is God's word here, and us, that it can be done. It is natural and good, but how and why can we eat and drink and be merry? How? And this is what matters. So yes, there is nothing better for a person than to eat, drink, and enjoy his work. This is what matters. It is not wrong to enjoy the gifts and fruits of God's creation. But where does it come from? God gave us the Sabbath day. He provides food for all living things. He allows the sun to rise and set. He makes the seasons come and go. Verse 24 and 25, I have seen that even this is from God's hand, because who can eat and who can enjoy life apart from him? That's the point. Well, who do you think is behind all of it? Mother Nature, that false goddess? Chance or luck? Another false idol. No, but rather it is our most merciful and gracious Father, God, the Almighty, creator and sustainer of all things. So enjoy. That's what he's telling us. Yes, but be thankful, be generous toward God and neighbor. We will all give an account. Jesus makes this plain. For to the person who is pleasing in his sight, he gives wisdom, knowledge, and joy. But to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and accumulating in order to give to the one who is pleasing to God's sight. This too is futile in a pursuit of the wind. So Solomon is comparing himself as a sinner and as a saint. When he counted his doing too much, he saw it as futile. But when he gave thanks and looked to God as the source, was pleasing to God, understood that, and gave thanks to God and was generous, then he understood and was able to enjoy it. See, there's the gospel, right there. But wait, are we not all sinners and displease God in what we do? Yes, but what is it that pleases God? A contrite heart, a repentant heart, daily and always looking and leaning and trusting him, trust and reliance on Him alone, looking to Him daily for all things, asking and thanking Him, acknowledging Him as the only source daily. This is our faith, after all. This is the creed we confess. This is what the first article, the I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, this is what it means. What does this mean, Luther has us ask, right? Ask our confirmands. I hope this remains. We memorize it once, but does it ring in our hearts and our minds throughout our lives? Was ist das, they say in German, what does this mean? I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that He has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, spouse and family, and all land and animals. When I was in Wisconsin, that was so easy to show. Just look out the window. Corn and Holstein cows, as far as the eye can see. Land and animals, and all that I have. But when was the last time you thought about this? Acknowledge this to be true. So many don't. Even Christians forget and think it was really their own doing. Well, don't we? Don't. This is not faith, but unbelief. The very root of that first sin in the garden that is part of all humanity. To disregard God's word, to think and believe a lie instead of that word that tells how things really are. No, instead, be hearing and believing. Saying yes and thank you. Asking and looking with expectation to God for all that we are, all that we have, even all that we do. This is faith. This is our faith. And the Bible says that faith only pleases God. And it does. We are at our most holiest when we are on our knees in desperate need of Him, praying, pleading if necessary, looking to our Father. But you know, faith too is a gift from God, freely given, gladly given to us. But only do we receive these through His word and sacrament here. And these two are more gifts to us. The word and sacraments are given to the church for this very purpose. And we scarcely know just how willing He is to give. We think He's some miserly old man. We forget how willing He is to do for us and to provide for us. He is for us always. Otherwise, the sinner striving, all that hustle bustle in the world, that mad dash, that working for the weekend, the accumulating of material things, this too is futile in a pursuit of the wind. That which you have will be taken from you and given to the pleasing one in God's eyes, the one that God says trusted Him instead. For the unrepentant and unbelieving sinner, that is all that will be left, air. All too soon gone. But for those of the faith, we inherit the earth. Jesus says so, and not this old one that requires so much to maintain, a new one, one in which the fruit of it bears 100-fold produce all year long. For this and for all things, we give Him honor, the praise, and the thanks. And then He says, here, enjoy. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.